You're listening to the Long Box Crusade Podcast, Episode 1. Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Long Box Crusade. I'm your host, Pat. To hear the origin story of how this podcast started, please take a listen to the promo that was posted on longboxcrusade.com. This episode's issue is Spidey Super Stories, number 19, published by Marvel, cover date of October 1976, with a cover price of 35 cents. Writers Jim Salisgrup and Larry Lieber, penciler Winslow Mortimer, Marvel coordinator David Kraft, inkers Mike Esposito and Tony Mortellaro. Boy, I'm going to butcher some names here. Editor A.J. Hayes and art director John Romata. The cover credits go to penciler Jack Kirby and inker John Romata. From 1974 to 1982, Marvel Comics published this comic book, which was aimed at children ages 6 to 10. A total of 57 issues were produced. Every issue of Spidey Super Stories featured at least one story where Spidey would team up with an established Marvel comic superhero and or fight an established Marvel villain. This served to introduce other Marvel characters to new readers who were unfamiliar with the company's characters prior to seeing Spider-Man on The Electric Company. The Electric Company is an American educational children's television series that was created in 1971 and ran through 1977. The Electric Company employed sketch comedies and other devices to provide an entertaining program to help elementary children develop their grammar and reading skills. It was intended for children who had graduated from the flagship program, Sesame Street. The humor was more mature than it had been than what had been seen before. On the cover across the top, it says, Marvel Comics and The Electric Company present Spidey Super Stories. The artwork shows Dr. Doom shooting a blast from his hand, breaking the wall where Spider-Man is clinging, and in the background, Silver Surfer is surfing by. Now, my comic is kind of beat up because I probably read this quite a lot. So I'll post a picture of it on the website, longboxcrusade.com, for you to take a look at, and then a picture of what the original picture should look like. So we open up the front cover, and on the back of that cover, there's a short origin story, one page for Dr. Doom. It says more about Dr. Doom, and it shows Victor Von Doom, who's just a smart scientist, mixing some chemicals together. Then in the next panel, all of a sudden, there's a big boom and an accident happens. Later on, it shows him that he makes a mask to hide his scars. And then the next panel shows that he's all suited up in his Dr. Doom gear and seeking to rule the world. And he says, why not? I do a better job. Let's start the first story. It's called Deadly is a Doctor Called Doom. And we see the Electric Company kids on stage at a talent show as they're singing along. And the announcer says, the winner of the talent contest is the Short Circus. That's kind of funny. Short Circus. Maybe they're trying to play on circuit, but whatever. Spider-Man is off on the side of the stage watching the gang sing. And he is starting to say his spider senses are starting to tell him something, that he senses danger nearby. Cut to a different place where we see Dr. Doom watching this talent show going on through a monitor. Him and his evil buddies just watching there, kind of like they're watching an episode of American Idol. And they're telling him that his plan seems to be working. And he says, well, of course it does. No plan of Doom ever fails. And then he says, shut off the screen. And so back at the stage, we see a camera that's there, and it gets shut off. While Spider-Man is kind of searching around to see what he can find, what was sending off his signal. But it seems once the camera is turned off, everything's fine. We cut back to the talent show announcer, and he's saying, your prize for winning Dr. Doom's contest is a trip to see his kingdom. And one of the kids says, man, out of sight. I bet it is. The next panel shows the kids getting ready to board the plane with no chaperones. They don't see anybody, and then they see Spider-Man waiting in the plane, and they're saying, what are you doing here? And Spider-Man says, I don't trust Doom. He's going to go along with him. He must be the only chaperone that wanted to go. While he is there in the plane, he gives one of the girls a ring and says, if the trip turns into a trap, pull the stone out of the ring. Foreshadowing. Next, we see that they land after their long trip to Dr. Doom World, or Kingdom. They land the plane, and Dr. Doom is there waiting for them as they are getting out. He has a couple of his troops blowing a horn, and we see Dr. Doom there just welcoming, and he says, welcome to my land of milk and honey. Spider-Man says, it sounds more like syrup to me. Nice one, Spider-Man. Doom comes to Spider-Man and says, you know, why can't we become new friends? Spider-Man says, he thinks maybe, but there must have been some other problems in the past. One of the kids says, Spider-Man, don't be a party pooper. I hate that when I'm called a party pooper, especially from kids. So they tell him to kind of just be cool, that possibly he has changed. So Spider-Man says, okay, I'll be cool for now. Next we see Spider-Man and Dr. Doom sitting in the back of a car, and they're in a big caravan going all the way up to Dr. Doom's castle. And Spider-Man's thinking to himself, I know this is a setup. I just don't know what this turkey's up to. As they arrive at the castle, Dr. Doom is at the entrance where by the drawbridge, and he says, please forgive my modest home. Spider-Man says, sure, what did it do? Nice one, Spider-Man. And one of the kids says, wow, this is some pad. Later on inside, we see them sitting around a table. Dr. Doom's goons sitting on the left, Dr. Doom at the head of the table, and the Electro Company kids and Spider-Man at the right. They all have what looks to be some sort of old-time soda with foaming on top and a straw coming out. And they're about to, and Dr. Doom wants to give a toast to the children, pure and innocent. And one of the children says to Spider-Man, how sweet. What do you say now, Spidey? Spider-Man says, I may get sick. Nice one, Spider-Man. Dr. Doom tells him, no, Spider-Man, not sick. You're just very sleepy. Very, very sleepy. And Spider-Man starts to think that there's something in the sodas to knock them out. And as the kids fall asleep, Spider-Man's got a little more stronger in him, and so he doesn't fall asleep as quickly as the other kids do. And he tries to escape. Dr. Doom tells his goons to go after him, and Spider-Man begins to swing from the rafters and start kicking and knocking the kid, knocking Dr. Doom's goons out. And then he's just about to try to swing away out of the window when all of a sudden, boom, it finally hits him. He falls asleep. Dr. Doom tells his goons to get Spider-Man, who's just hanging there from his web as he was going to swing out the window but fell asleep. And then we cut to minutes later, the kids awaking as they had fallen asleep and now are placed in a cell as prisoners of Dr. Doom. One of the kids says, Spider-Man must be right that Dr. Doom is evil as ever. And another one asks, speaking of Spider-Man, where is he? Meanwhile, in another place, we see Spider-Man on a table, and he's got all these different electrodes connected to him with Dr. Doom looking over him menacingly and saying, all right, the Spider-Man awakes. Spider-Man, it can't move. He's stuck there by some force holding him down, which is one of Dr. Doom's simpler inventions, he says. And then he begins to say, the contest was just, of course, a trap. I knew the short circus would win all along, and that Spider-Man would come and protect him. So Spider-Man says, you wanted to trap me, but why? And Dr. Doom begins to tell him his secret. What he wants is Spider-Man's powers so he can build an army of Spider-Men. The next page is Chapter 2, Dr. Doom Will Strike Again. And here we see Dr. Doom going on his little evil monologue and his idea of, we see his army of Spider-Men flying through, swinging through the city, climbing the walls, tipping over cars. They have these round helmets that kind of look like Devo did in the Whippet Day. If you remember that video, you're pretty old, just like me. And the crowd around them, they're saying, "No one can stop the spider army. The men climb, they swing, they're super strong. We're doomed." No pun intended. On the next page, we see Dr. Doom saying that the enemies would soon learn the score, as they're all, a bunch of army men are all trapped in a webbing, and they give up so easily. "Fire our guns? We can't. Doom beat us." And he laughs evilly. "Finally, I would force the world to their knees," he says. Everyone is on the ground praising him, and he is there with a king's crown on his head and a king's robe around him as well, too. All saying, "All hail the wise and master of all, Doom." Spider-Man thinks to himself, "Doom, you're all bananas." Good one, Spider-Man. Doom tells Spider-Man that he's a fool and that his machine is studying him to learn how to make his powers. Meanwhile, back in the cell, we see the girl that Spider-Man gave the ring to. She's taking a look at it and saying, "Well, Spider-Man told me to pull out the stone, so I will." And at that moment, electronic wave comes from the ring. The waves are felt and understood only by spiders. These waves begin to call all the crawling creatures to the castle. We see the spiders climbing the castle wall into a window where the room where Spider-Man is in. And Dr. Doom continuing to talk to Spider-Man, saying, "Soon, Spider-Man, your powers will all be mine." Spider-Man tells him, "Well, first, you're going to have to grow 8 legs." Good one, Spider-Man. Doom leaves the room, and the spiders begin to come in. And Spider-Man says, "Just in time. The electronic waves make them obey my thoughts." Then he has them make a webbing to go to the main switch, which, of course, is wide open and says master control, and then a switch that's on and off. How convenient. And has them beginning to pull the lever down. And soon enough, the master control is turned off. This breaks Spider-Man free, but at the moment that Spider-Man is free, the alarm goes off, and the Dr. Doom's goons begin to run to the laboratory. They open the door but can't find Spider-Man because he's above them and they're goons, so they don't know how to look up, as he's clinging to the wall, or to the ceiling. Second later, we see Spider-Man rushing down the stairs to the prison where the kids are kept. A couple of the goons are there, sitting at a table, playing cards. Could be playing Pokemon, could be playing Magic the Gathering. You can insert your favorite card game there. Their swords are on the ground, so they have to pick them up and try to go after Spider-Man. But it's too late, because he's captured them in his web. He then hangs them up onto the ceiling and begins to unlock the door for the kids. Unfortunately, news travels fast in Dr. Doom's castle, and Dr. Doom tells his other goons to go find Spider-Man or else. But as luck would have it, Spider-Man and the Electric Company kids took the wrong turn. Imagine that. Spider-Man says out loud, "We took the wrong turn." And Dr. Doom says, "A turn that means doom." Good one, Doom. But Spider-Man says, "Not while I can still spin a web," and he shoots his web at him. But Dr. Doom begins to heat up his armor and remove the webbing. Dr. Doom retaliates with a blast from his hand at Spider-Man, but Spider-Man leaps with his spider leap, and then he shoots some sticky web at Dr. Doom's hand, stopping him from shooting anymore. The Electric Company kids grab a tapestry that is hanging on the wall in the castle, and they fling it over Dr. Doom's head. Meanwhile, more of Dr. Doom's goons are coming in, and the kids say, "Uh-oh, more trouble." But Spider-Man tells them, "Don't worry, kids. Trouble is my business." And he begins to easily take them out. Doom and his goons seem to be down for a while as he's trying to get out from underneath the tapestry that was put over his head. Seems pretty easy if you ask me. While he's trying to do so, Spider-Man finds a mirror and puts that in front of a window. Doom is able to get free of the tapestry and says, "There, I can see again, and what I see I hate," as he sees Spider-Man's reflection in the mirror. But unfortunately, when a man is blinded with hate, he can't tell what's real and what isn't. That's a lesson to learn there. And crashes through the mirror, and out the window he goes into the moat of water. One of the kids yell, "The battle is over," And Spider-Man says, the water will rust Doom's metal suit. By the time the rusty ruler is rescued, the kids and Spider-Man are back on the plane on their way home. Spider-Man says, well, we beat the famous doctor called Doom. And one of the kids says, I'm glad he doesn't make house calls. Good one, kid. The end. Before the next story starts, there's a one-page story on the Silver Surfer, on his origin. It says, upon his flying board, he comes from the stars, and the board follows his every order. He has cosmic power, can do almost anything. Then next it says, see him in the next story. The next story in this issue is the Spider meets the Surfer. We see the Silver Surfer surfing the galaxy on his surfboard. And of course, in the front of it, it says Silver Surfer across the front, just in case he loses it. As he's flying through the galaxy, he's passing Earth, and all of a sudden he sees what looks like a shooting star speeding right towards Earth. Meanwhile, Spidey is swinging across town, thinking to himself, the city is quite quiet lately. It gives me the creeps. Meanwhile, back in space, the Silver Surfer is trying to find a way to stop the meteor. And if he doesn't, the world is doomed. But the Surfer succeeds as he shoots some sort of beam at the meteorite, breaking it up. As the Silver Surfer is patting his back, saying how good his cosmic power is to save the world, a piece of the meteor strikes him in the head, kind of like a giant meatball, thunk. And the Silver Surfer falls from the stars. Back on Earth, we see Spider-Man swinging through the city and sees what looks to be a meteor. And that meteor crashes into the Hudson River. Splash! And the Silver Surfer emerges from the water saying, well, you can't win them all. And at that same moment, we see one of the electric company kids named Charlie watching TV and Spider-Man's on there. As his mom comes up and turns the TV off saying, Charlie, I warned you about watching too much TV. Superheroes, that's all you think about. Charlie says, what's wrong with that? And she says, they fill your head with silly daydreams instead of your studies, and makes him go to his room to do his homework. We cut to Charlie in his room, looking out the window, saying that his mom just doesn't understand. Superheroes aren't silly, and as he's looking out, he sees Spider-Man swinging on through. Spider-Man is swinging towards the river, and Charlie is looking out the window, saying, I wonder what Spider-Man's up to. Just as Spidey reaches the river, the Silver Surfer comes splashing out on his surfboard, and Spider-Man says, hey, who are you? Meanwhile, back in the building, Charlie is running out and going up to the top of the roof, saying that Spider-Man must think the Silver Surfer is evil, and that nobody understands him, just like him. As Charlie's looking down the roof, he can see Spider-Man and the Silver Surfer in a battle. Spider-Man is shooting his webbing at the Silver Surfer's surfboard, and Spider-Man saying, hold it, Mr. Clean. Good one, Spider-Man. I want to talk to you. Before we get to the second part of this story, let's take a quick break and listen to a promo from a friend of this podcast.
Aw, yeah. Aw, yeah. Feels good. Feels good.
The time has come to enjoy myself.
Hello, greetings and hi there. This is the Hit Speaks Podcast. Hey there, true believers. Welcome to the Task Force X Headcast. G.I. Joe, the Real American Headcast, is the code name for Aaron's daring, highly trained headcast.
1980. Hello there. My name is Aaron Moss, and this is the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour.
Alexis Mox. This is my show called Alexis Beat.
And all of these shows can be found on the Headcast Network. Look for it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Also on Facebook by looking for the Headcast Networks. All of the great headcasts that you love on one convenient feed. Look for it. The Headcast Network. See you there.
Welcome back, and let's continue on with the story. The next page begins part two of the story, The Silver Surfer from the Stars. As the Silver Surfer and Spider-Man are flying over the rooftop of where Charlie is, Silver Surfer is thinking, Spider-Man must think I'm a monster. and Spider-Man saying, "This guy's too dangerous, too powerful to fly around loose." The Silver Surfer shoots his cosmic powers at Spider-Man's rays and cuts them loose. Silver Surfer says, "I guess Spider-Man can't fly." And Spider-Man falls right into the drink. Just as Spider-Man falls into the drink, there's a boat with some passengers by saying, "You're all washed up, Spider-Man." Good one, people in the boat. Ha ha ha. Meanwhile, back on Charlie's roof, the Silver Surfer has parked his surfboard and sitting on top of the roof, thinking to himself, "I didn't mean to dunk Spider-Man. All I want to do is just return to space." Which I'm not sure why he didn't just do anyway. Instead of going and sitting, he could have already been up in space. While the Silver Surfer is contemplating his actions, Spider-Man comes swinging back behind him. Silver Surfer turns around to say, "I am the Silver Surfer. I must be free and you cannot stop." The Silver Surfer begins to run after Spider-Man and lunge after him. Spider-Man ducks and the Silver Surfer goes over the roof. Charlie is watching this battle take place and he says to himself, "Spider-Man thinks the Surfer wants to hurt him. And that the Surfer thinks Spider-Man wants to stop him. They are all mixed up." Spider-Man and Silver Surfer begin to battle it out on the sidewalk. Silver Surfer is shooting his cosmic powers at Spider-Man. Spider-Man leaps up and shoots his web and covers the Silver Surfer in his webbing. Then the Silver Surfer rips right through his webbing. Meanwhile, in the building, Charlie's mom is looking to see what Charlie's doing. And then on the roof, we see Charlie getting on top of Silver Surfer's surfboard and wondering if he thinks he can fly that. Back down on the sidewalk battle, the Silver Surfer is saying, "You just don't get it. I must leave." And he calls his board to him. On the roof, Charlie's surprised that the board begins to act and he's saying, "I'm just kidding." And the Silver Surfer sees that their boy is on the board. The Silver Surfer sees Charlie on the board and doesn't want to see him get hurt, so he sends a pillow of air to make sure that the board lands softly on the street. Charlie lets out a, "Wow, this is fun!" Charlie's mom comes running up to him, asking him if he's all right. Charlie's mom says to the Silver Surfer, "I heard on the radio that you saved us from a meteor." News travels quickly, I guess. And she says, "I guess your superheroes are super." And Spider-Man thinks to himself, "I guess they can make mistakes as well." Spider-Man reaches a hand out to shake the Silver Surfer and says, "I'm sorry, stranger. Because you were different, I didn't trust you. Next time, I'll know better." The end. Now we come to the final story. In this issue, Spidey finds the prankster, as seen on The Electric Company. The story is by Pat Thackeray, based on The Electric Company TV script by Sarah Compton. On the next page, we cut to Spider-Man visiting his Electric Company friends in music class. One of the kids asks Spider-Man, "What's his favorite song?" He replies, "Jelly Belly." The teacher tells him, "Okay, let's sing that song. That song's on page 21, or actually page 22, class." The kids open up their music book, and just as they do, boing, a bunch of snakes come popping out of the books at them. And the kids say, "Someone pulled a prank. Who could the prankster be?" Spider-Man says, "I'll get to the bottom of this." In the next panel, we see Spider-Man crawling on top of the ceiling, following his nose, smelling something sweet. There's something's cooking. As he enters the cooking class of the school, Spider-Man smells something strange. The cooking teacher asks Spider-Man to try a piece of chocolate pie, and Spider-Man says, "No thanks." As the teacher and the Electric Company kids begin to eat, they say, "Ugh, this isn't chocolate. Blah." The cooking teacher yells, "Mud, this is mud in the pie." Spider-Man begins to examine the pie and thinks to himself, "Did the prankster fix the pie?" His spider senses is telling him that it's so. And at that very moment, in another classroom, the typing class, they are ready to begin their test. The teacher says, "Ready, class, type." And as the kids begin to type, they find that their fingers are sticking to the keyboard, to the typewriter. I didn't think they had keyboards back then. Must have just typewriters at the time. And one of the kids say, "Someone gummed up the works." And the teacher says in their 70s voice, "This is some sticky scene. Spider-Man happens to be walking by and sees what's happening with the typewriter and the being stuck to the kid's fingers. He then begins to speed to the principal's office. He wants to tell the principal of what's going on so that he's aware of the prankster. Spidey doesn't find the principal in the office, but what he finds is some glue, a box full of snakes, popping snakes, and some mud. To Spider-Man's surprise, the principal is a prankster, and he's about to walk into the office as well. Spider-Man hides behind a desk, and when this principal comes in, Spider-Man shoots his web at him. While the principal is caught in the web, The electric company kids come in and say, "Why, Mr. Prescott, you pulled all those pranks? I don't believe it." Mr. Prescott speaks to the kids and says, "Every day you kids pull pranks on me, I just want to let you know how it feels." And the kids say, "We understand. You're excused this time." Spider-Man turns to the kids and asks them, "Have you learned your lesson too? Do you promise not to play more pranks?" And the kids say to Spider-Man, with their fingers crossed behind their back, "We promise." And one of the kids, putting some glue on the doorknob. The principal reaches for the door, telling them that school is dismissed. But there's more sticky business as the door is stuck to the principal's hand and he yells, "Spider-Man, help me, I'm stuck." And the kids laugh, "Ha ha 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 ha." The end. Well, that brings us to the end of this issue. I don't have any more in this series, as this was the only one that I had as a kid. I do have other Spider-Man stories, but those will come later on in the podcasts. In the meantime, I normally want to start to do any comments or notes that I have on the ads that are in the comic, but there was none with this issue, so we'll save that for next time. I'm also going to do some history and notes on the year and the month of what was happening in the history at the time. So at the time this comic came out in 1976, I was about 3 years old. So I probably got this later on when I was a little bit older and was able to read. But back in 1976, at the time, prices were only 59 cents. Huh, can you imagine that? 59 cents for a gallon of gas. Other news going on at the time was the Apple Computer Company was created. NASA's first space shuttle, the Enterprise, is revealed, and the United States celebrated its bicentennial. And also, Matsushita introduces the VHS home video cassette recorder to compete against Sony's Betamax system. Now you guys tell me, what did you guys have? VHS, or did you have Beta? Give me a shout in the comments, or go ahead and send me an email at contact@longboxcrusade.com. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that. Also, some popular films of the time were One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, All the President's Men, The Omen, Taxi Driver, and the first Rocky. Popular music at the time was from Bay City Rollers, Barry Manilow, Diana Ross, Paul Simon, The Four Seasons, Paul McCartney and Wings, and Elton John, Rod Stewart, Queen, and the Swedish supergroup, ABBA. Now it's time in the podcast for questions and comments. Since this is the first episode, I don't have any questions or comments from anybody. What I'll do is wait till next episode to see if I get some. So if you have something to say, want to ask me a question, or have a comment on the podcast, go ahead and submit it by emailing contact@longboxcrusade.com, or go ahead and put it in the post on longboxcrusade.com website. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the first episode of the Longbox Crusade. Please join me for the next episode as we go to a galaxy far, far away, and I will continue on the crusade to read them all.
I'm a waiter,
he's a waiter,
it's getting later, 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 I will wait, and if I wind up on your hook someday, you know I'll walk that line. Meanwhile, I bought another book today to help me pass the time here while I wait.
Yes, and
I will wait.
Okay, you've already said that about 12 times.